Welcome back to Governing to Win, a special edition of the Business of Government Hour. It's not all bad news. There are some positive signs, pockets of best practices that can be applied more consistently across the whole of government. Governing to Win ends by outlining a value-oriented enterprise operating model for the federal government based on commercial experience, which could lower operating costs while improving mission performance and services to citizens. Once again, here's the book's editor, Chuck Proh.
Companies are measured on EBITDA, how much cash do they generate, and ROI, how effectively do they turn that cash. It's very clear. When you move to the government, the government, as much as we like to oversimplify it, is not like running a company. It's very different. And the men and women who serve the government in these capacities do a very, very good job in a very, very difficult environment. And what this book attempts to do is to provide clarity around what value is in the federal government. The federal government comprises dozens and dozens of missions, and those missions are typically statutorily defined. They're very clear. And those missions can be measured. And what the book tries to outline is a very, very simple proposition that says that all of these missions are required to have a certain level of service, perform a certain level of quality for a certain amount of cost and a certain amount of time. And anything we can do to take time or cost out of one of these missions without negatively affecting service or quality, by definition, is a good thing. The big dimension of the equation is time. Because, ultimately at its core, the federal government is composed of dozens and dozens of white-collar processes. These white-collar processes typically have bottlenecks. And anything we can do as government and as industry serving government to take time out of the service and out of the mission without negatively impacting mission effectiveness will ultimately drive increased value. That should not be the primary focus. The primary focus is improving national competitiveness. And we're going to improve national competitiveness by more effectively performing government missions at a much lower cost point.
For Chuck Proh, this new operating model could catalyze similar changes in the broader economy, thereby improving productivity and enhancing national competitiveness. As we turn to the future, to what extent is our conversation, the book itself, and this whole discussion around U.S. competitiveness more a call to action rather than one of despair? Once again, former Comptroller General Dave Walker.
Look, there's no question that the United States is a great nation, arguably the greatest in the history of mankind. But we've got some serious challenges. We have strayed from the principles and values that made us great. We do face a range of key sustainability challenges that threaten our future position in the world and our future standard of living at home. But it's not too late. If we learn from history, if we learn from others, if our leaders start leading, if the people, we the people, start putting pressure on our elected officials to act, to address large and known and growing problems before they reach a crisis, if we make the political price of doing nothing greater than the political price of making tough choices that involve some, shared sacrifice today in order to help create a much better tomorrow, then we'll all be better off. I believe that can happen. And I take hope in the fact that we've always risen to meet a challenge historically. I think we'll do so again this time. But we need to do it before we have a U.S. debt crisis, which would have devastating consequences not just here at home but around the world. And for that to happen, as I said, two things need to occur. One, the president, whoever it is, has to demonstrate extraordinary leadership. Talk about the challenges, the opportunities, a way forward. Use the bully pulpit to go directly to the American people. And then the American people have to put pressure on their elected officials to act in our common interest in order to help ensure that our future will be better than our past. I think that can happen. I hope that it will happen. And 2013 is key.
Contributor Gail Fossler.
First, and these are my predilections, and I come at this as an economist, an analyst, and somebody who has rubbed up against the governance process in a number of ways in my career. But I hope that we get a clean political sheet after the election, that we begin to have a discussion around what these national domestic goals might be, that we may need some new institutions, some kind of collective institution that is able to do long-term, unbiased research. The Congressional Budget Office actually does an amazing job in that regard for the Congress. Mm-hmm. The ability to create a fact base. We need something that represents a continuum mm-hmm. from administration to administration about what our challenges are, and in part because that is a competitive innovation. My hope would be also that we would have a political process that would exhibit some interest in how things really work. Okay, like we mentioned, healthcare, Medicare. Every person over the age of 65 has some form of supplemental insurance, either Medicaid or private insurance, in part because they don't know what Medicare covers, and they don't know what it's going to cover. And that creates a real disconnect between the body politic and the political leadership, because people feel as if they cannot trust the institution of governance, the government's institutions, to act in their best interest. And that's probably the greatest risk that we face today.
Larry Haas.
I tend to be an optimist. It's very easy to look around, see the paralysis in Washington, see the political gridlock, and assume that somehow we're never going to find a way out of our mess, that politics have moved in a certain direction, and what they mean is that we'll never come together on a responsible fiscal policy. But I would suggest that we keep a few things in mind. First of all, as I mentioned earlier, we did go through an era of very large budget deficits in the 80s and early 1990s, and through some very courageous action, through presidents of both parties, congresses of both parties, through various stages in the 80s and 90s, we took action that, combined with a strong economy, moved us from deficits to surpluses. It was not that long ago. In historical terms, it was literally the blink of an eye. If we did it in the 80s and 90s, we can do it today. Secondly, this country over time has always found a capacity to act when it really needed to. But you see, it comes down to Churchill's line about America. You can always count on the Americans to do the right thing once they've exhausted all the other options. We're still in the process of exhausting all the other options. But when we need to act, we've shown a capacity to act. We acted after Pearl Harbor. We acted after Sputnik. We acted during the Cuban Missile Crisis. We acted after 9/11. We will eventually act. I hope we act sooner rather than later, but eventually we will act. So yes, very much, my piece is a call to action and a call for us to act sooner rather than later. But I am quite confident that eventually we will act. I hope it's sooner, but eventually we will do so.
Steve Redburn.
Well, for any administration to succeed, they're going to have to use resources more strategically than they have in the past. It's a luxury that we can't afford any longer to keep putting money into spending programs that are less important, given our national purposes, or benefit only a narrow group, or just not efficient. I would look particularly at the tax expenditures, the more than $1 trillion worth of spending through the tax code in that regard, and at reforming the tax system as a whole to make it more efficient, so that when we raise revenues, revenues actually go up and not just leak out through the holes in the bucket that are created by these special provisions. So that the advantage ultimately will be to put the economy back on track and increase its rate of performance.
And Raj Sharma.
You know, I hope the future is we're going to start to change the way we do things. I do think that this is the right time because of all the, again, the economic challenges mm-hmm. we have. And I don't think there is any choice but to change the way we do things. and this is the best time to do it. So will it change overnight? Absolutely not. This is, you know, this is bigger than the Titanic. You know, it's a big ship to steer. And so it's going to take some time. But I also believe that from a change management standpoint, people understand the moment. People understand the need, right? And we can start to build wins. I've been involved in those. And we can start to build wins where people who may be skeptical in the beginning start to really become backers all of a sudden. And so we can't, you know, we can't say, well, we have 1 year to do this. Again, it's going to take a long time. It's going to require some patience, but we need to start now.
As we close this special edition of the Business of Government Hour, here's Chuck Proh, editor of the IBM Center book, Governing to Win.
Well, I think it's absolutely about a call to action, and I think it's it is very much about providing examples that need to be leveraged. There is nothing about this discussion that is easy. It is never easy. However, hopefully what this book does is it provides a framework by which we can provide clarity to the discussion, in a framework by which we can continue to drive performance improvement into the federal government.
I hope you've enjoyed the perspectives, insights, and recommendations presented on today's Governing to Win, a special edition of the Business of Government Hour. These interviews paint outlines of both opportunities and challenges that the present period provides government executives. We do our best to delve into this new and different terrain, the shifting contours and dangerous detours that define this moment in time. The book Governing to Win, Enhancing National Competitiveness Through New Policy and Operating Approaches, is available at bookstores, online booksellers, and from the publisher at romanlittlefield.com. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan. Thanks for joining us.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.